There are probably quite a few people in this state who aren't even aware that we have a Human Rights Commission or that it's half a century old. How do you describe it to people who have never heard of the commission and are curious about its functions?
If I have my elevator speech, it goes a little bit like this. We're responsible for enforcing Tennessee's civil rights laws, which prohibit discrimination in employment, housing, public accommodations, and we also are responsible for compliance with Title VI. If you are employed and you have 8 or more employees, then it's against the law for someone to discriminate against you based on any of the protected class groups. If you are seeking housing, it is also illegal for persons to discriminate based on race, color, national origin, sex, and familial status. That means that you cannot deny housing to someone who does or does not have children. Generally, a lot of people say, well, EEOC does that. I said, well, then we're your state EEOC and your state fair housing entity.
Governor Frank Clement created the Tennessee Human Rights Commission 50 years ago this fall, and that sounded like a really forward-looking sort of idea that a state like Tennessee would, in 1963, at the height of the civil rights movement, create something called the Human Rights Commission, which sounds like a very 21st century product. Why was the commission created? Under what circumstances?
A number of individuals approached Governor Clement. He thought it was a good idea, and he did that. The original purpose of the commission was really to be an advisor to the governor and to the legislature on civil rights issues. In 1963, there were still segregated schools in Tennessee. There were still places where you would see signs that would say black or white. So Governor Clement felt that he needed a body to advise him on how to make changes.
The issue of civil rights, of course, does not diminish with time. Our definition of what those civil rights may be may change over time. In the 1920s, one of the big issues was women's suffrage. By the 1950s and 60s, that had graduated toward race relations and integration in the Southeast, and now we're seeing debates taking place everywhere from the NFL to the halls of Capitol Hill about sexual orientation. And I know that's something your commission does not currently cover, but do you think that's something that you're either working to change or might change in the near future?
There is a current bill in the legislature this year introduced by one of the legislatures to add that protection to our class, to our authority. We're not sure what is going to happen in other states and other jurisdictions where I've worked. We've always worked with a variety of groups that are interested in information about how to change. With respect to us proactively doing it, our organization has not. We have a 15-member board of commissioners, and their charge would be to approve that before we would move forward. But currently, there is a piece of legislation in this year's session to look at whether or not it should be added.
So it's 50 years down, and let's imagine the next 50 years yet to go. What do you think are some of the big issues that you and your commission will face moving forward into its second half century?
I think the issues will, we hope, diminish, but there's still an issue of pay. For women, the Lilly Ledbetter Act was signed by the president in 2009, and equal pay is still not a reality for most jobs. The issue of access and opportunity continues to be an issue for persons who are black, who are Hispanic, and for immigrants in particular. Access for persons with disabilities continues to be a challenge, whether it is physical access or access because they may have service and support animals.
Beverly Watts is the executive director of the Tennessee Human Rights Commission, which this year celebrates its 50th anniversary. And Ms. Watts, we thank you for being with us on All Things Considered.
Thank you.